It's Tuesday, October 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this scene, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of October. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's going to be a big show. I'll tell you right now, the conversation today is going to be, it's basically two topics. It's the American election and Israel and where those things intersect. It just happened. I just heard the whole crew moan. I don't want to talk about it either, guys, but it's what's going on, and we have to. We have to, and we're excited to. They forgot to shut the studio door. I said we're going to talk a lot about Israel, and I literally heard an audible groan from the guys in the studio. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? We're headed towards World War III. Israel's talking about launching a major attack against Iran. The American military is saying once this attack happens, we're in for a month-long conflict. We just sent THAAD missile interceptors over there with 100 to 200 American military men, meaning that we are now sitting ducks. We are now the bait. We are now the tripwire for Armageddon, just waiting to be obliterated by a hypersonic Iranian missile so that the propaganda machine can start churning out the calls to war. I don't want to talk about it either, but we have to. But we have to, and we'll be joined by Brother Nathaniel in the third hour. And I imagine he's going to want to talk about it too. So we're going to talk about it a lot. Sorry, folks, but there's also a lot of election news to get to as well. And a lot of other stuff, a lot of videos to show you. And we'll take your calls in the second hour as well. But like I said, it's going to be a Jew heavy episode. Let's just say that. Again, I don't know, it's not up to me what is in the ether out there every morning. And this morning, there's a lot of talk about Israel. That's what we're going to try to get some clarity on. We're trying to get some clarity on it. Have a principled stance of being pro-America, America first, and see where that gets us. All right, let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks. Your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 22nd of October, 2024. Ukrainian defense minister talks to WAPO about corruption, new recruits, and that, quote, victory plan. Ukraine's Minister of Defense, Rustem Umerov, sat down with the Washington Post to talk about various developments and aspirations in the war-torn country. As concerns rise and support is increasingly needed, Umerov emphasized the hope for Ukraine to enter NATO as soon as the war is over. He also spoke about deterrence as part of the plan, more specifically, the ability to strike military targets deep inside Russian territory. Touching on the issue of corruption, Umerov said there have been issues with the military procurement company Special Techno Export, which was linked to money laundering scandals. It's now under the defense ministry's control. Remember, there's a lot of corruption in Ukraine. It was for a long time considered the most corrupt country in Europe. And Trump tried to get to the bottom of that, and they impeached him over it because it would have interrupted their plans to plunge the entire region into perpetual war. So now that's where we are. And I guess we'll do the war. It's kind of like the elections. You'll do the war first, and then you'll be able to elect people. You'll do the war first, and then you'll be able to deal with the corruption. The problem is, though, that you're just incentivizing the war to go on forever because the people in power who are corrupt and are making money hand over fist from the squeezing of the American taxpayers, they have every incentive to prolong the conflict to make more money and to put off the eventuality of their corruption being exposed and undone. Just like it's now, Zelensky is now incentivized to keep the war going as long as possible because as long as the war is happening, he's in power. And as soon as it's over, he'll probably be voted out of office. So we are now incentivizing the Ukrainian officials in more ways than one to keep this interminable conflict going forever, no matter how many generations of Ukrainian men have to die. We'll get back to that in just a little bit with an extended statement about Ukraine and Israel from our godfather, Ronald Paul. Meanwhile, The Hill has this article. What if Joe Biden was the best candidate all along? Oh, what if, you guys? What if? Then he wouldn't have ever been replaced, I guess. We'll get back to this article. I won't spend too long on it on the Daily Dispatch, but hilarious. It's just, he's not the better candidate. He's not the best candidate. In fact, that's the wrong word. The word you're looking for is, what if Joe Biden was the not as terrible candidate all along? You know, best is relative, right? Best is relative. Yeah, better than Kamala. Terrible candidate. Absolutely terrible. The only reason you think Joe Biden is a good candidate now is because he has spent the last 2 months sleeping on the beach and you haven't heard from him. And you are all goldfish, I guess, and forget if you're not constantly reminded of how terrible your decisions are. Joe Biden was an awful candidate. And if things had continued on, it wouldn't have been the debate. It would have been some other thing that would have inspired the Democrats to frantically replace him because of how terrible he is. He was never a good candidate. He's not a good candidate. It's just Kamala is just that bad of a candidate that they're looking at the Crypt Keeper like he might have been a better option, but he's not. Meanwhile, Blinken arrives in Israel amid missiles to revive ceasefire push. Yeah, there's no ceasefire, folks. There's no ceasefire. There never was a plan for a ceasefire. This is just a charade. They're just doing it again. He's going over to help to coordinate the imminent attack against Iran and the continuing bombardment of Lebanon, as well as the eradication of the Palestinians from Gaza and the ethnic cleansing campaign that continues there. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has landed in Israel and bid to revive ceasefire talks to end the wars in Gaza and Lebanon. And no, I'm sure Hamas is very excited about ceasefire talks. They'll have to find a new negotiator first, honestly. Obviously, you guys murdered the last one with the drone, so they'll have to find a new negotiator, I guess. I'm sure somebody is eager to take up that mantle. From Newsweek, how Kamala Harris, Donald Trump polls look 2 weeks before the election. Yes, folks, it's Tuesday, 2 weeks until the 2024 election. Just 2 weeks to go. We're down in the final hours now. Donald Trump's poll numbers have been improving, but the 2024 race against Kamala Harris is still too close to call with 2 weeks remaining. The former election is now considered the slight favorite over Harris to win November's election in two major polling aggregators and forecasting models for the first time, with three recent high-quality polls showing Trump ahead nationally over Harris. And he continues in this upswing. He continues to completely dominate in the PR world, and we'll get back to that in just a second. Maybe we'll start today with more election coverage as we finish out the Daily Dispatch, but yeah, we will get back to that. And consider the options at play for the powers that be and, you know, what cards they have left in their hand to use to destroy America. We'll get back to that. Finally, we have this. Fannie Willis's lover, Nathan Wade, admits to multiple White House meetings during prosecution of President Trump in Georgia. Fannie Willis's special prosecutor and illicit lover, Nathan Wade, admitted he met with the Biden-Harris White House on multiple occasions during the prosecution of Trump in the Georgia RICO case. Nathan Wade arrived on Capitol Hill for an interview with the House Judiciary Committee last week. Fannie Willis sent out a letter to Chairman Jim Jordan demanding Nathan Wade's testimony be canceled. She also demanded that Wade not answer any questions. You know, because democracy. Because democracy means having the federal government and the executive branch coordinating with local special prosecutors to take out their political opponents and then denying any oversight or questions from the Congress as they carry out their illegal machinations. This is a big deal. This is actually a gigantic deal. And we have the transcripts from the interview where Nathan Wade admitted to visiting the White House many times, multiple occasions, in his professional capacity as the prosecutor that will go after their political opponent. I mean, the only thing the White House had for a long time was the illusion that they weren't actively involved in the prosecutions of Donald Trump. Like, as they constantly screech about the potentiality of Donald Trump using the executive branch to go after his political enemies, they have been coordinating and orchestrating and carrying out this massive various sets of prosecution against him. And the one thing they had was that there was no, like, actual admitted collusion between them. I mean, there was obvious collusion. There were people from the Justice Department that left their jobs specifically to go to New York to help to coordinate and carry out the prosecution against him there. There's obvious collaboration going on. It's evident for anybody to see, but it hadn't been admitted yet. So they still had the illusion. They had the illusion. They had the, how do they put it? You know, believable distance. They had the semblance of being hands-off on all of this. But that's all over now. I mean, they're admitting now. Nathan Wade, the prosecutor, visited the White House multiple times, admitted that, and then refused to answer what they talked about at all. Not because he doesn't know what they talked about, because what they talked about was the prosecution of Donald Trump and how the Biden Department of Justice and executive branch were intimately involved in the entire affair. So that's why. So something has to be done about this, right? I mean, there's got to be a, because you have to think, you know, in real terms, that there's going to be a time in the very near future, whether Kamala Harris or wins, or Donald Trump wins, or Donald Trump wins and is president for a little while, and then a new there's going to be a time in the near future.